Let's turn to Zechariah chapter 5. And we'll take the next vision in this chapter, starting at verse 5, Zechariah 5, verse 5. Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, "Lift your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth." So I asked, "What is it?" And he said, "It is a basket that is going forth." He also said, "This is their resemblance throughout the earth. Here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket." Then he said, "This is wickedness." And he thrust her down into the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. So I said to the angel who talked with me, "Where are they carrying the basket?" And he said to me, "To build a house for it in the land of Shinar. When it is ready, the basket will be set there on its base." Let's pray. Lord, we are to fear you when we see your word. We're to fear you when we see your work in the world. But because of blindness, Lord, and foolishness in us by nature, often we do not fear you. And so you declare the sentence upon us that the fool says in his heart, "There is no God." The foolish man does not fear the Lord. Lord, we would on this day hope better things for ourselves in you. That you would, as we just sung, speak to our hearts. And that you would teach us your way. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There are basically two ways you can get into trouble in the world. And there's all kinds of trouble you can get into. But there's generally two ways to get into it. One is that it seeks you and finds you. Another is you seek it and find it. Do you get those two? You can find trouble by just being in the world. We have another this past week, another cowardly terrorist attack by apparently an 18-year-old deluded teen trying to kill a bunch of people in London. Those people who got in the way of that bomb or that attempt were victims of someone seeking their demise. There's no way they could have known to get out of the way. Just what happens? Murderous terrorists show up, set off a bomb. That's trouble finding you. The other is you find trouble because you seek it. And you say, "Well, why would anyone seek trouble?" Oh, we know that a lot of people do, don't we? There are people who, when they find their first hornet's nest, they're just intrigued by it. They take a stick and tap on it and run off. They go back and tap on it again and run off. A time comes in that tapping that they wish they hadn't tapped. There's a saying, "Mad as a hornet." There's a reason that saying was made. And when they come back and they say, "Well, I got stung by a hornet," there's two ways to get stung by a hornet. One is that you didn't see the hornet's hive and you just happened upon it. The other is that you poked it with a stick. One gets you compassion, the other gets you derision. So each day, the Lord Jesus told us, has enough trouble of its own, and trouble surely finds us in this world. Natural disasters find us. Accidents find us. Collateral damage from other things going wrong may find us. Sickness trials, a plane ran out of gas, taxiing around or circling an airport, ran out of gas, fell right on a house. I think it was in New Jersey, fell right on a man in the house. I mean, I was thinking at the time I heard that, just sometime it's your time. You're in your house, and a plane falls on the house. What can you do? But there's other. The other side of it is temptations, distractions, persecutions, peer pressure, worldliness. This is the other side. In one case, you're just passive. The other case, people are trying with all their might to tempt you, to pull you, to change your heart and mind about something, to get you to think differently, to get you to be afraid and follow another way, to get you to be converted to a false religion or an incorrect way of thinking. So it's doubly sure if we look for trouble, we'll certainly find it. Solomon in Proverbs told his son about the troubles in the world, and he told him to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord, fear the Lord, depart from evil. And the foolish don't heed that warning and find destruction. There's two kinds of destruction then. There's that self-destruction. And the Bible says that if we wander from the way of God and we use our bodies in a way that they were not designed to be used, we have destroyed ourselves. We have a self-destruction. We corrupt our minds. We corrupt our bodies. We get into bad habits, and we are stuck in those. But the time comes when, barring all that self-destruction, there's also God's judgment upon us. So, when we consider the world that we live in, it is very proper for us to fear the Lord and depart from evil. Now, in this chapter, there are two visions. We saw last week the vision of the flying scroll. These visions, this one and the one, the last week and the one this week, are different in that they are warning visions. Now, the flying scroll was a large, wide declaration of the law of God in the land, and it flew. You know, this would be a great thing to have in the world, where the law of God on a big scroll, 15 feet by 30 feet, would fly around and everyone see the law of God and know about the curses of God on each side and fear the Lord. And the principle given in that vision was that the same law applies to the people of Israel now that they're being restored as it did then when they were judged and deported, exiled into Babylon. Because one thing we do is we think that if we're forgiven, we've got a clean slate to fill it up with sins again. And so the Lord was saying this needs to be listened to and heeded now. We have sirens. I hear sirens all the time. Something has happened. Sirens sound to warn us about a storm, or sirens sound to get us out of the way of an ambulance or a police car, because the message needs to go out. There have been for many years, I guess still happens, pictures of missing children on milk cartons. Get the word out. See if you've seen this person trying to expose their picture to whoever might have contact with them. It may be desperation in some cases, but in many cases it's been successful. So the flying scroll is God getting the word out to the people of Israel that if you do the same things you did the last time, you're going to have the same results. You're going to be cursed instead of blessed. This vision is of the same type, this one in our text today. The vision is a warning of a future consequence of sinfulness. To be aware that if you in the future do what the nation did in the past, the same result will come. Because we need to be reminded of that. As I said, a fresh start doesn't always mean a start to do good to people. It means a start to do bad. That you're reloaded to shoot more. So let's look at this vision, verse 5. It's a vision of a basket, the woman in the basket. Then the angel who talked with me came out and said to me, "Lift up your eyes now and see what this is that goes forth." So I asked, "What is it?" He said, "It is a basket that is going forth." He also said, "This is their resemblance throughout the earth." There's a basket or an ephah. An ephah is a unit of measure. So Zechariah's is directed to the next vision because God is speaking to Israel through Zechariah. He wants them to know, and so it's healthy. Zechariah asks, "What is it?" I love that. When people are curious and want to know more about what God is showing us. I've, of course, as you have, dealt with both kinds. People you tell things to and they have no interest, and people you tell things to and they can't get enough. And so this is directed to Zechariah to look at, to see this message. And so he wants to know what it is, and the angel, the interpreting angel we've seen throughout the visions, reveals the content of the vision as a basket, the New King James says, or the New American Standard says it's an ephah going forward. The ephah is kind of like a bushel. So it's a bushel basket or an ephah measurement for measuring grain. And the vision of this measuring basket is going forth. It's on the move. I heard people who were evacuated Florida for the hurricane said it would take them 22 hours to go what would take 5 hours before. And you know, when you're in a line of cars all backed up, what are you looking for? Just move. And the worst is if you're just sitting there doing nothing. Slow movement isn't good either. We don't like that, but it's better than nothing. But when something's on the move, it's advancing in an active way. It's something to not put in the back of your mind. It's something to put into the front of your mind. It's on the move. This is something current. And he says this is a common tool. This is their resemblance throughout the earth. That's a little bit of a mysterious statement, but at least it seems to mean that this is a standard measurement basket. This is an ephah. This is something that is commonly used. It's a common tool, and it's a common standard of measure that people who use it, use for their grain to measure. Some translations go ahead and interpret the figure as iniquity. They'll say this is iniquity that travels through the earth. But right there is the vision of the basket. But then there's more to it, the content of the basket. Verse 7. Here is a lead disc lifted up, and this is a woman sitting inside the basket. So you get this long tube at the grocery store. It's about, it's skinny and long. And you open it up, and you look inside, and there are Pringles in there. Pringles, you could eat some Pringles. And so Pringles are in there. Well, you don't know until you have them the first time. What are these things? What's in that tube? What's in that container? So when the basket is seen by Zechariah, at first it's a basket going forth. But then the angel reveals that there is a lead cover. He lifts the lead cover off the basket. And when he lifts the lead cover off the basket, lo and behold, what comes out but a woman? That'd be a surprise. You open up a basket or a box and a woman pops out. Well, the vision was that. So as Zechariah is seeing this, there's a lead disc covering the basket. When you put something over something, it's either to keep the contents in or to keep people on the outside out. In this case, the lead disc is to keep the contents in. And a woman is seen inside the basket, and we see that she also came out of the basket because she's about to be thrust back down into the basket. So there's a lead disc, and there's a woman sitting inside. What does that mean? The lead disc comes off. The woman appears. And some say, well, the woman couldn't get in a bushel basket. I don't know. It doesn't have to be a regular-sized woman. It's a vision. It could be, you know, but the vision was of woman. I think there's some women that can get into a small place and a bushel basket. So, whatever, don't be distracted by that. And the angel identifies the woman as a symbol for wickedness. Not all women, just this in this particular vision, is this woman is a symbol of wickedness. So this woman in the basket, he says in verse 8, this is wickedness. And he thrust her down to the basket and threw the lead cover over its mouth. I think I mentioned before my dad would go and find bottles. We saw him Friday, and I mentioned that to him. Yeah, he'd go to these old homesteads and find bottles. And sometimes he'd find a bottle and there'd be a snake in the bottle. But he didn't want to break the bottle. So he kind of covered up the bottle, plug the bottle up until he could get home and woo the snake out and then deal with it. And a lot of people wouldn't carry a snake in a bottle home. But this snake, the wickedness, apparently was getting out of the basket. So he threw her down into the basket and closed the lid. Wickedness was trying to escape. The woman was trying to escape her fate. She was pushed back, and the lead cover was put back over. So at this point, the basket's back into the original state. Sinners always want to escape judgment or justice. So off comes the lid. The woman comes out. The angel pushes the woman back in and puts the lid back on the basket. So for whatever reason, whatever meaning we're going to get from this, we see that this woman does not want to be in the basket. She wants to be out of the basket. And yet her fate is sealed because the lead disc is put back over the basket and she is again captured inside. In verse 9. Then I raised my eyes and looked, and there were two women coming with the wind in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. And they lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. So now you have two women coming in this vision. He raised his eyes and saw two women coming with the wind in their wings. They had wings like the wings of a stork. How many of you women have stork wings? You just don't tell us. That's a wide wingspan. And a stork is a very small body, kind of animal, but those wings are way out there. So this is, to us, what we would say today is that we've got a car that's got a powerful engine. The wings on these women make it possible for them to really move and catch the wind and go wherever, and whatever the weight of the basket is, it just doesn't matter. They've got the wind in their wings. They lifted up the basket between earth and heaven. So they come to get the basket. First, we see that the basket is covered and wickedness is kept inside. And then we find that it's not enough for this basket to be where it is. The women come, and Zechariah asked the angel, where are they carrying the basket? Because they lifted it up. And the angel says, verse 11, to build a house for it in the land of Shinar. We have at our house, and many houses, ours is Tuesday. This big truck comes and picks up our trash, dumps it into the garbage thing, truck, and off it goes. Wonder where they're going with that. I assume they're going to the trash pile with it, the trash dump. Whatever they do with it. Zechariah says, what are they doing with these, with this basket of wickedness? What is this? What are these two women doing? Taking it to the land of Shinar. The land of Shinar is Babylon. The plain of Shinar was where the Tower of Babel was built. The rebellion, the first rebellion against God we see after the flood of a people, is the people come when they were supposed to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. They went to the plain of Shinar and built a tower to unite them in a rebellion against God. It's always viewed that way. Not that they were being industrious and picking a nice place to live, but that they were resisting God's will for them, and so God came and confused their language and made them scatter just by natural means that he invoked. So when you say that it's being taken to Shinar, we also would note that Shinar, Babylon, is exactly where the people just were. The people just came out of Babylon to come back to Jerusalem to build the temple and to restore the city. So it's like someone on parole does a crime, they come and pick him up, they're taking him back to jail. And then they say, the angel says, when it is ready, the basket will sit there on its base. So the women are taking the woman in the basket back to Babylon, and when she gets there, she's going to have a permanent place to live. That's the vision. What does it mean? I believe the woman is Israel. I believe that the fact that it's a woman speaks of God's betrothing or calling Israel to himself as his people. So God uses terms of jealousy against the people of Israel because they break his covenant. He's in covenant relationship with them. In Hosea, it was Hosea who was an example for God. He stood in the place of God, and his wife stood in the place of Israel, and his wife went out and cheated on him, and showing how the Lord had been cheated on by the people of Israel. So the woman is Israel. And so the woman being called wickedness is that the woman is in a wicked state. The basket, though. What does a basket mean? What is the sin that the woman is guilty of in this case? What is she doing? Well, if you take the basket as it's normally used, it is a measuring basket for the business enterprise of an agricultural sense of gathering grain into a bushel basket or ephah basket. So some say the sin was idolatry. But the sin itself is not given. It's just wickedness. She's done wickedly. The basket, though, might be a symbol of commerce. Because we've already seen this, that when God called the people back to Jerusalem to work, they wouldn't go. And when they started to work and they were resisted and stopped, they wouldn't start back because they settled into the way things were. And the way things were, well, they were stopped and they didn't try to get unstopped. So Haggai, which is not the book we're studying, but it was a parallel, Haggai says, why are you sitting at home in your luxurious houses and the house of God remains unrestored, ignored, lies in ruins? So they got back to their business. Probably one of the biggest temptations in this world, since you have to have a job, is to make the job your number one priority and make everything else subservient to that. When you cannot serve God in mammon. So one of the most basic sins that the world engages in is that they leave God when they go to their job, and they give themselves to their job and they forsake the Lord. And it's never been supposed to be that way. The Sabbath day itself was given so that men would not 7 days a week work. They would take one day where they gave that to the Lord and they rested of their labors and they focused on the Lord and they kept their soul fresh in the Lord. And these days, it's full commerce. And this has been an issue both before and after the exile. Look at Amos chapter 8. That the people were not desirous of God because they were entrapped in the world. Amos 8. Verse 4. And God sees these things. People think, well, God's a spiritual, God doesn't care about anything but that. God sees these things as spiritual issues. Verse 4, Amos 8, hear this, you who swallow up the needy and make the poor of the land fail. That's a commercial injustice. Verse 5, saying, when will the new moon be passed that we may sell grain and the Sabbath that we may trade our wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large, falsifying the balance by deceit. In other words, when can we get back to cheating people out of their money? All this new moon festival, which is supposed to be worship of the Lord, this Sabbath, which is supposed to be focus upon the Lord, when will it end so we can get back to making money? You know, we had blue laws around here. We had things where things closed on Sunday. What did all the world howled about that? Oh, that's so antiquated. We can't have that. What's the reason? Because they don't want to spend time with the Lord. They don't care about the Lord. And that gets in their way. People can make more money in 7 days, they say. And then Chick-fil-A closes on Sunday. People get mad at Chick-fil-A. Oh, they should be open on Sunday.
They don't even want a reminder from anybody, even a chicken place, that they're messing up the rest of the Lord's day. And so they practice deceit in business. Verse 6 of Amos 8, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. They're abusing and practicing deceit of the poor and needy. And they're just, the things that God has given are a burden to them. Look at Malachi, last book in the Old Testament. Same thing. This injustice in personal relationships that stem from commerce. Malachi chapter 3, verse 5. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and the fatherless. You see, that exploitation that comes from commercial activities that seeks to run over people so that they can make more money. Verse 8 of Malachi 3. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. They didn't want to tithe. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you much blessing, or such blessing, that there will be not be room enough to receive it. He says, put me first, I'll multiply your commerce. I'll make you more successful. But instead, they didn't want to do that. Nehemiah, after restoring the walls, came out and found the people were working on the Sabbath day. People were coming in from the nations around them to trade on the Sabbath day. And he shut that down, Nehemiah 13. Because that's our nature. That's the nature of Israel. This is the warning that's being given by Zechariah. If you're going to be restored, you've got to stop worshiping the commerce. And so some say, and I tend to like that interpretation, is that Israel, seen in this ephah basket, is there as a judgment upon them for worldliness and injustices in the world of commerce. And the lead cover symbolizes what we saw really in the last one, is that you can't escape the judgment of God. When we can, we get out. We want to get out of the judgment. But the woman in the basket is immersed into worldliness, and the lead cover shows she can't get out. She tried to get out. We don't want judgment. But judgment is what is being prophesied here. And the two women, I think, are just two women, because there's one woman on each side with wings to correspond probably with the woman that was in the basket, carries this woman out. Some say it's nations, but no nation is mentioned. Their wings are large and the wind fills them. The wind filling their wings means that the wind is helping them on their journey. God is moving them to their judgment, to the judgment of this woman. And Shinar, of course, connects it to the previous captivity, but this is a subsequent captivity. It's the same exile will take place in the future, and this is what's happened. When this warning came out, Zechariah 5, people are still working. The progress is being made. But the warning has gone out. If you return to your old sins and unbelief, you'll be again carried away in judgment. And this has happened to Israel. Paul talks about a blindness in part upon Israel, those who have not believed. And in 70 AD,
Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans. The temple was destroyed. The temple has never been rebuilt. And Israel, in that sense, remains in captivity today. They're unbelievers. Paul talked about in Romans that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Of course, any Jewish person, any person of Israel, is saved the same way everybody else is, through faith in Christ. But the nation of Israel still is in unbelief. It persists. And I believe this is a prediction, that if they will go back into unbelief, if they will go worldly again, if they will turn to the world instead of to God again, then they will be taken back into captivity again. And this has happened. Even in having a land now, they're in captivity spiritually. So when you see that, and when they saw it, and when we see it, the thing that's pressed upon us is to flee things which are going to bring us down. The Bible talks about flee sexual immorality, flee idolatry, flee the love of money, flee youthful lusts. A lot of people on drugs today wish they didn't start it, because once you get on it, you can't get off of it. Very few seem to be able to. Once you get hooked to something, you're hooked. And so he's telling Israel and us in this day, don't start down the slope into the pit, and you won't have to climb out of it later. If you stay out of the pit, then you don't fall into the pit. And if you don't fall into the pit, you don't have to try to get out of the pit. It's a warning vision, both of these visions in chapter 5. And it's mercy of God, because it's not enough just to build the temple back. It's not enough to put the walls back around the city. It's not enough just to put put houses back in the city. The city will go down again outside of the will of God that they're pursuing. If they're pursuing something outside of God's will, like the world, then they'll go down again. And they did. There's no place since 70 AD in all the world for the Jewish people to sacrifice according to the laws of Moses. There's no place for it. And until they come to Christ, that captivity remains. And upon every person that's not outside of Christ, there's a bondage and a captivity into the kingdom of Satan. And so that's the warning here, that this woman in the basket is wickedness. Once she's in there and God chooses to judge her, she can't get out. And there's even a place built for her in Shinar where she remains in a permanent home in a wicked land because of her unbelief. May we be wiser. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for the warning. We know, Lord, that you warn people, many of whom will not heed. But Lord, we also have to say that when you warn and you open the heart, people do heed and will be saved. And so we pray, Lord, in our day, things that have happened that tend to make people think more worldly in these days would instead make people think more godly. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.